This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 305. We're starting a brand new franchise. We're going to start off with my man Mel Gibson and his, I guess, legendary character, right? Yeah. Mad Max, a little post-apocalyptic film called Mad Max from 1979. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is...
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate. Most likely, the last time you've seen this is when we did the 4K review, right? I mean, but yes. Other than that, when was the last time?
Then. That was it. That's it. I watched it for that when we did the disc review. And then I watched it Sunday. So, gotta say, I know we don't talk about it, but this, I forgot how good this movie looked. It looks, yeah. It is a beautiful 4K for such a low budget movie. You gotta keep that in mind.
We're gonna talk about a little bit low budget because I have some fun facts about this film that I want to talk about. We don't do much fun facts about films. Sometimes we sprinkle them in here and there, but this one is actually really, really interesting. I found out. Wait, I got to talk about this with Nate. Okay. But for myself, the last time was the same thing when we did the 4K review. And I agree with you. I put it on and I was like, man, the sound, because now that I'm watching it, I didn't have my Sonos sound system when I watched it the first time. Yeah. So now watching it the second time, it was like on a 5.1 whatever. And man, when they put it on his V8 engine, and it was like, I was like, oh my God. Now, I'm not talking about Fury Road. Fury Road sounds like you have your Hemi engine next to you. Like, there is no...
Couch just shakes up and down.
Your whole house is like, damn, someone put a charger in your house and just turned it on, because that's different. But this one sounded so good. It looked stunning. Now, let's just get into this fun fact, okay?
Okay.
So, Mad Max becomes the most profitable movie ever. Oh. Fun fact, okay? Okay. I don't want people to be like, oh, yeah, right. Check this out. According to Guinness Book of Records, Mad Max was once the most profitable movie ever. Like the upcoming Furiosa, right? The Mad Max is set before the apocalypse, meaning that the movie didn't need to spend much money on creating an immersive, believable wasteland setting unlike the sequels. Okay?
True. Yeah.
This is where it gets good, people. Listen to me here. Listen to this very clearly. Since its production cost, Mad Max 1, okay?
Yeah.
Budget was $350,000.
Right.
It made an astounding $100 million.
Okay.
The Guinness World Record awarded the movie the title of the most profitable movie ever after its global success. Bro, that is unheard of.
Yeah. I think, I'm sure it's now been passed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was there for a while.
Yeah.
I thought it was there for a while. Because you had like Blair Witch Project. And I know Paranormal Activity. Those cost like, you know, 100K or whatever, and then they made. But 350,000, 100 million, and I don't know if that's adjusted for inflation or what, but I mean, it's a lot of money for this is a low budget movie.
I mean, but you said it though. Like, even seeing, I'm scrolling through the article quick while you're talking, and it said it. It says, is Mad Max still the most profitable movie ever? And it says, look, both Blair Witch and the Paranormal Activity, like you said, made more money with the lower budgets, but no one has compared the three movies with inflation taken into account. Since the Guinness World Records hasn't updated the records, it is tough to work out whether these found footage horror hits were technically more profitable than Mad Max.
See? I haven't even seen that article and I said all that.
No. After all, $100 million in 1979 is a lot more in 1923. All right? 2023.
A lot.
And the sheer size of Furiosa's movie production proves that the franchise is still a major money maker. Now, again, guys, if you guys want to check it out, I'll put the link somewhere, maybe in our Instagram. I'll put the link up, but you guys can check it out. It's in Screen Rant. The article was published February 17, 2023. Okay. So you guys can check that out. You can read it for yourself, but I just wanted to bring down that fun fact because I still think that's bugged out, bro. Like, it's just crazy how George Miller did this.
This was the $100 million in 1979.
Yeah.
All right. $100 million, just so you guys know while you're listening, $100 million. In 1979 is worth $10 million then was 40 is worth 45 now, so that make it $450 million now
back then.
Yeah, No, yeah, equivalent. So, like, if that came out now, okay, it would be $450 million that it made. Now, obviously, the budget is, you know, what, $350K?
Yeah.
Let's just do that really quick. $350K. Now, a $1.5 million budget. So, I mean, if you make a movie for $1.5 and you make $450, that's got to be, it might be the most profitable still.
I mean, but just imagine, though, right? If it's $350,000 and you're telling me inflation was $450 million, that is a triple quadruple.
Like four and a half times.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know we're harping on this. I'm just saying it's a crazy fun fact because it's
you don't realize how big the movie was when you talk about Mad Max. I don't think people don't put that in their head like, oh, this was the most profitable movie of all time at some point. I don't think anyone would guess that.
No, even if you see it now, it doesn't give you that indication of that is the most profitable because everyone has, like you said, the Blair Witch on their mind. They're a paranormal, their Halloweens, their newest movies that make all this stuff, Blumhouse, you know, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, George Miller's A Post-Apocalyptic Film is the most profitable. But anyway, with that said,
pretty cool.
Nate,
yes.
What did the critics and the audience think of this film?
Well, they liked it. Critics especially. Audiences too, though. This has a critic score of 89%. So almost all critics that reviewed it that get counted for Rotten Tomatoes, of course, enjoyed it. And audience score is a 70. So it is still very high. You know, genre movies, they could go either way. 70s action films could really go either way, but this is 89 and 70, so very well liked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked because, like, I mean, this is a very well-made movie. Like, rewatching it now, and I'm like, okay, let me sit down and really pay attention. It's a very well... I mean, editing is a little wonky, but other than that, it's just a flawless storytelling, to be honest with you. All right, with that said, let's just get right into it, okay? Lead character, Mel Gibson as Max. Okay. I don't know his last name.
Rakitansky. Rakitansky. Yeah, that's the name. So you made a good point. You made a good point there. The last time I watched this, I watched it just for the other stuff. Like, I was trying to hear it, see it. I was fast-forwarding. So, like, I didn't really sit and, like, watch it. I give him a 4, and I'll explain why. He's very quiet in this movie. He's a very quiet character. He's a family. He got his family. Also... And it ties the story more, so we'll get to it when we get there. But there's not like a lot. It's not a big character. It's not like all. Literally, this character is he's a cop in the futuristic like police, right? MP, whatever it is. And he's like the guy. He's like the one that is like he's the best one, pretty much, right? And he is introduced like a few minutes into the movie. He's not the very beginning. Then he comes. He puts on. He's got shades on. You're like, oh, this is the guy. This is Max. He's mad. And then he goes. He does his thing. You're like, oh shoot, he's great. And then really it goes around and like deals with a lot of other characters, comes back to him. He wants to retire. Okay, that's the plot. He wants to retire because he's like, this world is just, I got a little baby, I got a lady, I just want to spend time with them. And that's pretty much what he does for the whole middle part of the movie. As far as character stuff, I do like when his partner gets burnt because it makes him, you know, then he starts to show some emotion. And then what happens with his lady, then he really comes out. So it does take a while. And then it kind of abruptly ends. You know what I mean? Like after that last part. So I still give him a 4. I just think there's room to improve. So for me to give a 5, I got to feel like perfect. You know, I don't think so. I think there is space there to do more. I haven't seen the next movie. So maybe they do. I don't know. But I still think he's a very good character. 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I agree with you. I when I finished this movie, I was like, man, am I going to hit him with a 5? And I agree. I did not. I don't think the character was developed, but I don't think it was fully developed in a sense that he was very one monotone. If you understand what I mean, like there was no dynamic to Mad Max in this movie. It was just like he was like Rambo. He was quiet and they knew he was like the top dog because they were like, Max, we need you. And he's in his car. He's like, rum. And I was like, oh, my God. God, this is so dramatic. Like they're building up this character to be like, he is the one not to mess with. He's the Judge Dredd of that movie. Like you couldn't mess with him. But I did like him though, because he was flawed, which was his friend and his family. That was his weakness, like Caesar, right? That was his weaknesses.
People close to him.
We were really close to him. Like, he didn't care about nothing else. Just his friend, the police cop, and the wife and the son. But I did enjoy him though. I did like when he was behind the wheel. And then he got into his interceptor, his black car with the V8 engine. He was like, guys, where did you get the pieces? And they're like, we got it from everywhere, Max. And I was
we built it for you. Please don't retire. Please. Yeah. Look at this car.
And then you had like the chief with the ass cock listening to him on the radio.
Fifi. His name is Fifi.
What the heck? Oh man. But I kind of enjoyed it. And I kind of like the, and I'll say this before we go to the villain. I like the progression of emotion with Max in this one. Like, he was quiet, he was cool, he was friendly, he was fun. They killed his friend. Oh no, actually they put him in the bed and he's like, that's not my friend. And then all of a sudden he's mad.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I retired, chief. He goes, no, you take 2 weeks off. You're not retiring. And he goes, fine. How about you go down the dock and go get some ice cream? All of a sudden my man Toe Cutter freaking decides to run her over with a bike. And he went, no. Now really mad is really mad. He got super his mad car. Max. Super mad Max. And I loved it. I thought it was like the elevation of a character, like inner ambition to get angry and revenge.
Yeah.
Was in this movie. It was caked in there. George Miller was like, we're caking this in. And I kind of liked it. I was like, you know what? That's good. But I don't think it was a perfect. I did see the others. You didn't. Yeah. But I'm not going to give my scores for those yet. But
you know, like, it's what I mean, I think what we are saying too, like, he doesn't have a lot of dialogue. He doesn't talk much. He got his people he's close with get hurt. He wants to get revenge. Like, but there's not a lot besides that. You don't really get to know him a whole lot more. So I think that's
what he's like a typical, oh man, he's like a comic book character where you need more stories to flush him out. So you go, oh, that is what he is about. Like this one, they're giving you the origins, but like in a short film version of it. So anyway, with that, it's 4-4 across the board. Okay, so main villain is Toe Cutter. Toe Cutter.
I hate that name, but I actually like that. I like him. I like the villain. I think he is, first of all, he looks like, this is going to sound mean because he's a man, but he looks like this lady I know. She kind of looks like Toe Cutter to me. So every time I see her talking,
she sees like, you. She looks
like this lady that I know. But anyway, I like him and he has a gang, of course. And they're just like a bunch of guys who do weird, you know, this movie's weird. It's very weird. Yeah. Very Australian. George Miller, he's an out there guy, very talented director. And you know, he got this cast of characters that are weird to be like barking and making noises and like following people around and crawling on them and doing all this kind of wacky stuff. But Toe Cutter always seems to have it the most together, which I like. I like when you have these movies where you have this gang and everyone's insane, but the leader is like, he's like the calm one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's also the most evil one out of all of them, if you do anything. So I think he has some really good scenes. I think he's a good counterpoint to Max because Max is silent, quiet, and he kind of is too. He doesn't say a lot, but when he talks, he's like, you know, he just says what he needs to say and doesn't say much more. So charisma, I don't give him the super highest score. He does have charisma, don't get me wrong, a little bit. Like there's parts where he's like with the baby and all that kind of stuff and with the old lady. And,
yeah.
But he's not like overly over the top. But I liked him. I didn't love him. I gave him a 4 too. I think to me, the hero and villain are equal in this movie. Like they're both really good. So I gave him a 4.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree with you in that. Toe Cutter, and it's funny because it's like an ensemble of guys, right? Like you said it. They're like the warriors. Instead of being good, there could be like a warrior gang in that movie, right? Like the biker gang from the pier.
The Australian Outcasts. That would be their name.
Yeah. That's what I see of them. But you're right. Like you have to, like Toe Cutter was really cool. And especially when the old guy, when they went to get the casket of Knight Rider, right? Oh, yeah. And he's like, you know what? You could just go grab it. And he grabbed him. He went, so you remember this day.
Oh, yeah.
Knight Rider. When you look in the sky, think of Knight Rider.
I like that part. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like that.
Yeah, like that was fun. I like when he went up to the girl and he licked her ice cream, which I was like, that's nasty. That's I would have hit him in the dick too, because that was nasty too. I would have kicked him in the dick. Like, you lick my ice cream, you get kicked in the dick.
He put his whole mouth on it. I was like, ew, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, that was cool. Then you had Johnny Boy, which is the one that taunted Mel Gibson's biker friend. You know what was his name? I just looked it up here on IMDb. His name was Jim Goose.
Jim Goose.
Yes, another goose dies.
Oh, man. Goose just dead. If you're named Goose, not good you're done. For you.
Bad. Yeah. So his name is Jim Goose. That was his name, his partner. But yeah, I agree. Everything about it was fun. I like the dude that had the chain. He threw it behind the car and he ripped his arm off.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't show it, but his arm was hanging.
And my friend would like his hand back, he says.
Like they were carrying that shit around. Yeah. That was kind of funny. But anyway, I thought the biker gang worked very well for this film. Another 2-4 across the board. I want to see where you go with this one. Action scenes.
This is always the hardest one. Yeah. You know, the Action Movie Guys podcast wouldn't be what it is if we didn't sometimes struggle with the action scores because it varies movie to movie, right? We watch a movie like, I don't know, but it's just for an example. We watch a movie like John Wick. Perfect execution, a lot of action, a mix of different things, style. Great. And then sometimes we watch stuff that's a little more, we'll call it rough around the edges, right? It doesn't have that precision, perfect everything, but it's super fun to watch. And I would put this movie in that category. Like, this is cars going fast, and there is, especially the opening scene, it's shot really well. I do like, you could tell there's another car going fast with the camera on the car going. I love car stuff. I know you love car chases more, so I'll let you expand more, but really well shot. And then you have stunt dudes like flying off the cars. And so it's a little more like a rough around the edges, like I said, but still executed well. I still couldn't give it the 5. I really wanted to, but I'm like, you know what? It is very good for the time. I think the budgetary constraints did limit how great it could be. I am willing to put money, and again, haven't seen it, I'm willing to put money the Road Warrior has better action than this because it has a bigger budget and it has the same director who's talented. So don't tell me, but that is my guess without having seen the movie. I just think there's a window of opportunity and I think it's gonna get bigger and better. This was like small scale chaos. 4. Still very good. So, I hope George not listening to this and getting mad at me. But I'm going to give it a 4.
So, okay. So this is when it comes to the action, because I was really, I was like, it's mostly car chase scenes. Yes. No shootouts at all. Really. I mean, towards the end, Max gets shot in the leg and then he shoots the guy off the bike. And then the old lady with the shot double shotgun with two knee braces to make it even funny.
Yes.
Right. So I was like, how do I score this? Well, you had to go in a different style of like reviewing because George Miller gave you close to 15 to 20 minute beginning car chase with the cops and Knight Rider. Right. And I was like, oh, this is when they introduced Max. And I was like, okay, this is cool. It blew up and all this crap. And I was like, oh. Then I was like, all right, the wife gets run over by the bike, which is kind of weird, right? Because when you see it in this movie, you don't see them get hit with the bike. You just allude and you already know.
Yeah, you
in
see
the you're gonna the see. Yeah, you're gonna see in other movies, they're gonna show you some comic book version of it. Like you're gonna see some cool graphical work. And I thought it looked way better that way if they shot it that way, but it is what it is. You have more chases. The ending, you got Max with his black car, the Interceptor. He's going chasing dudes down. He runs almost all of them off the bridge. So I was like, this is pretty cool. With that said, I agree with you. I'm not thinking above the other movies
because you've seen them.
So I've seen those. So as of this movie, I'm giving it a 4.
I think that's fair.
And I think, and again, the driving is really, it's outstanding for a $350,000 budget. Yeah. I mean, and then you had some cool parts and that were funny, like when the eyes go bulge out when they get hit.
It happens twice. That's in everything. Once in the beginning and then once at the end.
Yeah, Knight Rider and a toe cutter that happens. And I was just like, okay. I was like, I mean, it is what it is, but it's this is what I think, because how you gave your analogy with the John Wick, the way I see it when we do these things is more like an action movie shimburi board. What is it called?
Charcuterie?
The charcuterie board.
Salami,
right?
A little cheese, a couple grapes.
So you have your great cheeses, right? Like the John Wick, your Die Hards, right? Then you have your grapes. You have your Mad Max. You got the lethal weapons, right? Then you got like, and then you got stuff that people never touch, which is the salami or bologna or whatever.
The weird folded meat, or maybe the weird looking olives.
Or like cheeses that you never, you taste it once and you go, damn, this shit is nasty, but there's like thousands of that pieces. Those are like the watchable craps. Like some people might like it, some people might not. Like stealth.
Yeah.
That's the Gouda cheese, because it might be Gouda.
I would call this one then, yeah. with this analogy, I'd call this one like high end of the second tier of cheeses on there. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
This
yeah.
isn't the expensive cheese that you're like, you no. gotta taste this. But it's the yeah. one that's right below that where it's like, this one's really good. I think you'll like it.
Yes, that's try this. It. Yes, this is the action that movie one. Should board. The action security cheese. Board. The action cheese.
yes. Yeah, I get it. I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, it's amazing. So anyway, we give it a 4 across the board on that. Yes. Okay, storyline.
Man, I sound like a broken record here, but you know what? I think it is very good, not great. Or no, I should say great, not perfect. I think for a first time, you have to, you know, there's one way you mentioned as far as how we have to look at the movie. And there's one way you can review this and say, well, they had no money. They did it kind of low, you know, it's low budget, nobody famous. No, and because of that, we could literally give everything a 5. And be like, well, for that, it's a 5.4. But I don't like to do that because I do think things can really elevate past whatever the budget is. This mostly does. It just doesn't reach I don't think it reaches the heights of a 5 out of 5 story. It's still really good. I gave it a 4. I think interesting hero. He has the necessary steps to become the Mad Max that in the title by the end of the movie. But again, he's not like 100% developed. You have a really good, strong villain. But there are some parts that are kind of like I really thought the police chief guy was weird as heck, that Fifi guy. And I also think there's a lot of stuff in here that's not explained that well. Like, for example, where we really are in the world. Like, what year is this? What, you know, when you read about it, you're like, yeah, it's like not all the way post-apocalyptic, but it's like there's a crisis, you know, it's low on oil. But they don't really delve into a lot of that stuff. You know what I mean? And maybe it's because of the budget. And maybe it's just because these are kind of like early on, you know, in their filmmaking career. And so whatever the case, I still think it's good. But I still had questions like, well, I don't really understand everything that's going on. But I think you get enough. You get the gist. You're there with the characters and you're there for the action. So I still give it a 4. I think it's a very good storyline. But I think, again, it could have been even better. So I'll leave that 1 point for the other version that could have been.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking right now while you were talking and all it says is near future. That is all they give you. They don't give you
vague.
Yeah, they don't give you no. It's like, okay, somewhere in time, this is where it takes place. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. There's some plot holes here and there. I mean, there's a lot of things that you like, you're shaking your head. Like, why did she continue running down a road where there's nothing to run at? Like, stuff like that didn't make sense. Yeah, it didn't make sense to me in a lot of stuff. But in all, it's a very fun story. And then I'll say this very lightly. Depending on what type of person that watches these type of movies, because some people might think it's boring. And
I can see that.
My wife thinks the first one is boring. She was like, she goes, I can't. And I was like, it is what it is. I enjoy it.
I could see it.
And yeah, it's a very, for some people, it's a very boring story. It's not this like action, balls to the wall, bullets flying.
It's not very
flying.
Dramatic either.
It's not.
A lot.
It's just a storytelling of a guy as a police officer that gets revenge because they killed his wife and best friend. That is pretty much it. I mean, in a nutshell, that's the movie in a near future. And my thing I'm laughing at, it goes, I don't know if you laughed at this, because I bet you did. Every time they show the Hall of Justice, they play like this cartoon, and then all of a sudden, it's like dirty papers everywhere on the floor.
It looks like a dump. Everything looks like a dump in this movie.
It looked like crap. And it was like 4 police officers in a big ass building. And
that's all there is left. Yeah, nobody wants to be cops.
No. So, it like stuff like that, to me, it was like, they didn't explain that either. Like, where is all the people? Like, why does this thing look like this? Like, and then it's just, there's a
then
lot
they
of
go
stuff
to that town. It looks like an old West town. Remember with the casket? Like now we're in a Western. I mean, the whole thing has a Western vibe, but it literally looks like one of those old West towns where the guy's making the coffin on the side of the road. He's like building it. You know what I mean?
But, and also, and I do understand the budget constraints, $350,000. So they could not get tons of extras if that's what they were going for. But look, it is what it is. I did enjoy the story. I thought it was a very fun story. I like the revenge aspect. You're right. It's a very Western story. If you really put horses and saloons again in this story, you might get a great cowboy movie, to be honest with you, because Mel Gibson's character, Mad Max, is a Western character. He's a Clint Eastwood type character. 100%. He doesn't talk. And when you mess with him, he fires back. So again, I thought that was great, but I don't think it's a perfect either. I'm going to give it a 4 also on storyline. Okay. Overall, what's your overall?
Overall, I give this a 4. I think it's a great movie. I discovered it later in life. Like I said, I did not watch this when I was younger at all. As a matter of fact, the first Mad Max movie I ever saw was Fury Road. So I saw that first. Wow. Yeah, I saw this after. And look, I still haven't watched two or three yet. So this series is not, I can't say it's a favorite, although I can say the two movies I've seen, I really, really like. So I think this is a great start. You know, it doesn't, and the cool thing about the movie is if they never made sequels, it's still a really good movie. Like it's just a really good, small, low budget action Western. It's a Western. If you like that point you made, and I think I said it on one of the other movies, any movie where you just take out whatever vehicle they're on, if they were on horses and you think it's a Western, it's pretty much a Western. So I think this is a great movie. I should say Mel Gibson, performance wise, not his best. You know what I mean? Like he's young still, young actor. He looks the part, but again, he doesn't have a ton to do. So knowing the kind of star he would become later, I'm interested to see the journey of how his performances change over time. So I'm actually looking forward to next week a lot. And even Thunderdome, again, I haven't seen it, but yeah, I give it a 4. I think it's a really great movie.
Yeah. In terms of this film, I agree. I gave it a 4. I liked it a lot. I saw this movie. I'm 40 now. I gotta say 9 or 8 7. It has to be early 90s ish. Mm-hmm. Just going through the TV and I was like, oh, what is this? And I was like, watched it. But I will say this though, I was more gravitated, and it's been a while since I seen it, but I was more gravitated to Road Warrior. But I will say this because I don't want to spoil nothing for you. The other two sequels, Thunderdome and Road Warrior, very 80s.
I will say that. Post-apocalyptic. I've seen images of it.
Post-apocalyptic. Yeah. You see they got more budget, but it's very 80s. That's what I mean. You're going to be like, oh, okay, I see what Alex means in terms of it's a very 80s. This does not feel 70s. This feels like a post-apocalyptic story, Blade Runner, right? When you watch Blade Runner, doesn't feel like it was filmed in that era. It looked like it was filming anything because the story was so good.
Yeah, it doesn't feel super 80s. You're right.
No, it don't. That's what this movie felt like. It didn't feel 70s. I felt like, okay, this could have came out in 81, 82, maybe. You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say. But I think this is a fun, great film for those of you that enjoy this type of film. Other you, maybe not. You might not like it, but it's okay because there's 3 other sequels that came out that you might enjoy over the first. So it's okay with that. But this laid down the foundation work for my man, Mad Max. All right, Nate. Total points.
20 out of 25. A perfect 4, right? You had the perfect score, which is a 25 out of 25. This is the perfect 4 for all 4s. I think if you have a movie, to me, anything when we score our movies, anything between 20 and 25, it's a high recommendation. You know what I mean? I would really recommend this if you have never seen it or like me and you're older. I mean, I'm not that old. If you're in your 30s, 20s, you never seen it, watch it. It's very good. I think you will enjoy it. So yeah, 20.
Yeah, I agree with you. I gave it a 4, 4 across the board too. I have a 4 of a kind on this one. So it's 20 also. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. And I agree with everything you said. Other than that, what's coming up next on the podcast?
All right. So next episode, we will be continuing with our remake month with a movie called Assault on Precinct 13. And we're going to be doing that one. And then next week, we start Road Warrior. So we're going to the sequel. Not just you. Everyone has told me this one is the favorite one, right? So to me, when I talk to people who like these movies, it's either they love Fury Road the most or Road Warrior. Those are the ones that come up the most, I should say. I'm sure Mad Max number one, and even Thunderdome probably has fans that love it the most because every series has that. But so I'm very excited. So we got a little Salt on Precinct 13 next episode, and then next week, Road Warrior.
All right, guys. So there you have it. If you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Every other Monday, Nate is live on Instagram at his Nateflix Reviews account. At 9 p.m. Eastern, he joined forces again with his friends that he did the podcast with. They talk movies. They talk about all the new releases that they saw, maybe movie news. You guys could throw in some questions. They'll answer it to, again, every other Monday when we're not live. They're live on his Instagram, Nateflix Reviews on Instagram. Other than that, action movie guys, head over to Geeks and Flicks on Instagram. And then, of course, our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.